It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by the Honorable Austin Scott. He represents the 8th Congressional District of Georgia, member of the Armed Services Committee and the House Ag Committee. Great to see you.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, a lot going on right now in D.C., and I know you've been really, really busy. Not just watching what's happening in D.C., but watching what's happening back home. When we talk about the ag and the rural economy, is that one you're watching?
Oh, absolutely. I live in it. I mean, I live in a little town, Chula, Georgia, and in Tift County, and certainly in all the surrounding counties, agriculture is the beginning and the end of the economy. And so it is absolutely a big part of our day-to-day life. Even outside of being a member of Congress, it's just where I live, that is the economy. So, you know, one of the things we're concerned about, increased cost of fuel, increased cost of trucking, you know, the ability to get crates and the materials to move fruits and vegetables, you know, just from the farm to the market. We've got sweet corn is bringing about $6 a box, box being 48 on the farm, and wholesales still in a $12 to $13 level, but you know, the delta between what the farmer's getting and what it's being sold for is being consumed. You know, the transportation costs and other things are being taken out of the farmer side of the equation, and so that's one of the things we're very concerned about and watching.
You know, we're hearing that really across the board in other industries as well, tied to the ag industry. But you know, whether you're talking beef or anything like that.
I put some pork back on the shelf this past weekend, and it's amazing how far it's moved up and how fast it's moved up. And of course, most American consumers would assume that the farmer's doing pretty well with that, but the bottom line is they're not. Cotton prices are up. There's some things that are good. It's not all doom and gloom on the farm, but the farmer is not getting the increased cost that the consumer is paying at the grocery store. It's being eaten up in the supply chain after it leaves the farm.
You know, speaking of eating up things, we're at a point right now where I'm not sure what the debt level is now for the U.S., but that continues to move higher to the point to where a good and sizable portion of our income, if you will, is going to pay on the debt. Is that a concern?
Absolutely. And so one of the things that has not been in the news much lately, but I think will become more front and center over the next couple of weeks, is that we hit the debt limit July the 31st. It was not set as a dollar figure. It was set as a date certain. And that was a mistake, I believe, that we made last year, and I'm guilty of making that mistake as well. I think we should have done it as a dollar figure, not a date, and it's just lessons learned the hard way. But when we get to July the 31st, I expect that the debt limit will move to somewhere around $28 trillion, and that's just disproportionate to where our economy is and what's in the best interest of future generations of Americans. And so a lot of debate will occur between now and July the 31st. You're hearing talk about the transportation bill, but the fact of the matter is the debt limit and what happens with regard to government funding for all of the agencies is a bigger deal right now than just the transportation and infrastructure legislation.
Does this at all tie into the fact of some of our debt? I'm not sure how much of it is owned by other countries as well. Is there any concern there?
There is concern there, and you know, you don't want one country to have too much control over your financial future. And unfortunately, the more debt that you have out there, the more susceptible you are to that. Most of the time, when people talk about that, they talk about the amount of U.S. debt that China controls and has purchased. The fact of the matter is China has a debt problem right now, and so do most of the countries in the world. And so globally, I think there's a tremendous amount of risk in all of the economies throughout the world right now. And, you know, we're going to have to come together and become a more productive, not just America being a more productive country, but countries who share our values and our interests. We have to collectively become more productive.
Obviously, China has influence in the way monetary policy is set, and in global ag arenas as well, whether we're talking about row crop or chemicals. Sure. Or other areas.
Sure. And look, we given our choices, we prefer to have China as a trade partner, but the one thing you don't want is any of your trade partners to be in a dominant position over you. And so in your economy, you either grow something or you build something. A lot of people say, well, China's kicking our rear end. China's not kicking our rear end. We're kicking our own rear end with stupid rules and regulations that have forced manufacturers to move to China. And so we need to do a better job of getting that manufacturing back into the U.S., and if not into the U.S., at least into countries that share our interests and our values. One of the things that we have not, I think, talked enough about is what China has done in controlling the inputs in agriculture. And so as you see, you know, consolidation in the inputs that our farmers have access to, I'm very concerned about China's influence in the theft of technology, the influence that they have in the seed and the chemical business. I mean, the things that we use to grow the crops at the volume and the quality that we do inside the United States, I do not want that to be contingent on a supply chain that originates in China. And so one of the things that we've got to do as we do the research and the development of these new technologies in our university systems, we need to make sure that manufacturing production of seed and chemicals stays inside the United States. And we need to make sure that it's not owned by the Chinese Communist government, whether they do it through the purchase of other companies or however they do it. We need to make sure that we control our destiny with our inputs in agriculture.
And there was also a recent ruling kind of rolling back something that USDA started just a few months back, right?
That's right. In the COVID package that President Biden's package that passed in February, they put a provision in there. I believe it was Section 1005. And the way it was worded, Tony, they literally, as long as you were not white, again, the way it's worded, as long as you're not white, even if you're not a U.S. citizen, whatever you owe the USDA on a farm note, they were going to pay those notes plus 120% of the January 1 of 2021 balance. And obviously that's discriminatory, and I think the judge's ruling is correct. I appreciate the people who brought the suit. And if that precedent is ever allowed to be set, then you can expect them to do the same thing with home loans, student debt, you know, any other types of government-backed debt. And it's not who we are as Americans to say that, you know, the government's going to pay off your loans as long as you're not, you know, a certain race.
It's always good to see you. I know that it's a busy time for you. Thanks for carving out some time and coming to see us.
Hey, thank you, Tony.
Again, it's the Honorable Austin Scott representing the 8th Congressional District of Georgia on today's Agribusiness Report.